time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 9th. Holidays today. It's Donald Duck Day, and it's National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. Birthdays today. There's only one. AEW's Ty Mello is 28 today. I'll let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Dunn's Delight Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Thank you so much for viewing. We've got one whole viewer. It looks like it's Super Beast, too. So, hey, that's good going. It's 9 o'clock on a Friday night. It's not our usual time, but I did post it earlier today. So Danger Boy joins us. Danger, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I turned down gallivanting around as a inebriated adult to be here to do the show this week.
Oh, well, that's a great sacrifice by you. I appreciate that.
It doesn't hurt that I have to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning either. So,
well, you got
to
work tomorrow or something? Oh, golf
tournament.
I was gonna say I got to get up around that time too because of the juniors playoffs that are in Rochester at the Dome Arena. Tomorrow morning starting at 10 o'clock, but I got to be there way before that. I'm a little bit behind on SmackDown. I just started watching it. It's Ali versus
Escobar.
Escobar, yeah. For the
Well, there was just a return that happened. I'm only like a minute behind, but there was a return that just happened later on in the show.
Well, I know it's not – LA Knight's picture did pop up on the screen during this. I have a feeling – you know, when
he's doing commentary that you're not listening to right now.
You are correct. It is me there. I see him. He's sitting in the, yeah. I was going to say, if he's out there, that means he's probably going to win the Money in the Bank, I'm guessing. They're going to actually give him a push for once. But we're here to talk about, of course, the world of pro wrestling. And a few, you know, not a lot has happened. You know, I mean, being it's Friday night, I don't think a lot of things have happened beyond, you know. But the big thing, I think, on the list was the death of the Iron Sheik. You jabroni. You know,
that's probably the only saying of his we can actually say.
Yeah. Yeah. There'd be a lot of beeps going on. I want to talk a little bit about the Iron Sheik and how important he really is to the world of pro wrestling. Because even if you weren't a Hulkamaniac, he was the avenue into which the business changed forever. You know, and if it wasn't for him being the transition between Bob Backlund and Hulk Hogan and what happened after that, you know, who knows where we would have went, you know? I mean, if he had, like, there was always the story that Vern Gagne was going to give him, like, 50 or 60 grand to break Hogan's leg instead of, like, losing to him, and he turned that down.
Well, it's probably good he did because of the amount of money he made off being one of the first action figures that they made as well. They were making like 80 grand a quarter off those things back in the day.
And not only that, he was in animated shows on Saturday morning. He was in Cyndi Lauper videos. You know, he had a great run in the WWE. And I mean, and even when he couldn't wrestle anymore, then he was like the flag guy for the turncoat Sergeant Slaughter, you know?
Yes. The Iraqi sympathizers.
Yes, the Iraqi sympathizers. We never said which Persian Gulf country they were from, did we? No, I think we did.
At that time, we absolutely did say it was Iraq.
Yeah. But I mean, and Mustafa or Ali gets pinned and the LWO goes on. I'm sorry, I'm watching it just a little delayed. But so the Iron Sheik, you know, it's like a lot of people may not even know who he is, but they know him from the WWE, you know. They may not be wrestling fans and stuff, but I mean, he was a very, very important transitional figure and very important into making Vince McMahon's dreams of what the WWF turned into, WWE turned into. And even
younger fans know him because he was one of the few, the original legends to embrace and just go completely wild on Twitter.
Yeah, he was a social media. I mean, his death.
He was on Jerry Springer as well.
Yeah,
I just saw that clip pop up the day he died.
I was going to say his death was announced on Twitter on his account. That's where they posted it first. It's fun because I mean, it's not fun that he's dead, but it's funny that they just had this big legend show on him which was great. I mean, I watched it. I thought it was re-airing
it this weekend too. They announced that during the show today. They're re-airing it this weekend.
I was going to say it showed you all the and it didn't pull punches. I mean, it might have been a little softer, but I mean, it definitely talked about, you know, him having cocaine issues and stuff like that, you know, in his life and how his wife stuck by him the whole time, and you know.
He had one of the most fascinating lives from start to finish of any pro wrestler I can think of, because he was the bodyguard for the Shah of Iran.
Yeah, and he did compete in the Olympics, I believe that. Yes. That's legit.
He's
so
an amateur wrestler. He was at one point, he was, I think when he first started wrestling, so he did training camp with Vern Gagne at the same time Ric Flair did.
Yep.
He was significantly older, but he did the same time Ric Flair did. I think he could move then, and he was only like 218 pounds. He was solid.
Yeah, no, in the beginning of his career, in the time in which he took Hogan, took the belt from Bob Backlund, he continued to be a good athletic move. I mean, he did that club thing, you know, that where he was like, that he challenged people to, and every time someone would take him on the challenge, he would beat them up before they got too many in, you know. I remember Bob Backlund definitely did the clubs, and he had no problem with them. You know, they're like 75-pound clubs or something that he put over his head and he would swing. He was very athletic, and when he was, I remember him in Georgia Championship Wrestling, and he definitely was an athletic wrestler when he worked there. But I saw a picture, I think Flair may have posted it, from 1972 when they both were training with.
Yeah,
that was, you know, and you know, he looked so much smaller too.
Flair was bigger and Iron Sheik was smaller.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird look, but they, you know, the funny thing is he never really stepped out of kayfabe too much, you know, not really. I mean, some of his comments on Twitter, yeah, he would badmouth people. And people would just send him stuff just to get him angry so that he would like send mean things back at him, you know?
Oh, it just became he was living the gimmick and he would just start saying anything. And he didn't really mean most of the stuff. I mean, he was on Stern once and said that how much he appreciated Hulk Hogan after badmouthing him for the entire episode.
Oh yeah. And Hulk Hogan just came out today and put out a statement on his Instagram about how important Cheeky Baby was to, you know, where he went. And it's true. And it's like, and he was a perfect, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the relationships between United States and the Saudi Peninsula have never been super fantastic. So you always could, you know, that this is back in the day when they had Russians were heels and they had, you know, people from the southern, you know, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula were, you know, especially Iran back. And he was, when he first showed up, it was Iran. And then it turned to Iraq during
the Gulf War.
Yeah, during the Gulf War when Sergeant Slaughter became a sympathizer.
Which is really weird because those two countries hated each other. So
yeah,
I think
Sergeant Slaughter turned very quickly back though. After as soon as he they had
after the
big WrestleMania match.
Yeah,
It wasn't long he turned back, and I think it was because he was probably losing merchandise from G.I. Joe stuff, you know? Wait a second. You can't go Iraqi sympathizer and be on G.I. Joe, can you? Yeah, I've always wanted to talk to Slaughter about that because, you know, he's very approachable, but I don't know about doing radio shows and stuff. But, so that's how important. I remember, you were there, you probably, the time that we had Nikolai Volkov and the Russian and Iron Sheik on with us. And yeah. Andrew was asking him questions about his Olympic career and stuff. And he just was like, he was kayfabing everybody.
Oh, yeah. Because that's what he did. I mean, like I said, he lived the gimmick. That's all he did. All those old guys were that way. The gimmick, I mean, they came up, you protected the business, you lived your gimmick. And that's, they adapted to it, except for when you need a ride someplace and Jim Duggan's the only one that can give you a ride.
Yeah.
On the Jersey Turnpike, and then you're.
Yeah. Don't get caught smoking weed with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You know,
he had more than weed on him when he got caught. So
apparently in his bag, but but he was a very important character, and I think it's, you know, I didn't notice if they had done like a rest in peace slide at the beginning of SmackDown.
I didn't see if they did in the beginning because I caught it like 2 minutes into the show.
Okay.
But they do a nice video.
Okay. And I was going to say, and of course, Monday
night. They put it out a couple hours ago on YouTube, but they do it. It's like a 2 or 3 minute long video that they do with everything and go over everything.
I was going to say, and I'm sure on Monday Night Raw, we'll start up with that too, because, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, he's just an important character, even though if you hated him or if you liked him, you know, he wasn't meant to be liked. So, I think he got liked when he started doing the cartoon stuff, you know, he couldn't help it when you're putting the Sheik on the cartoon. Everyone's going to come off, you know, getting liked by somebody. I just remember, you know, and apparently he did do the voice for himself too, you know. So you got to go back and watch those. What was it called? Hulk Hogan and Friends or something? I can't remember. It was
I don't know. When I was a kid, I thought it was Hogan's Heroes, and that was a completely different show.
No. Yeah. It's Make a Light of World War II. Yeah. It's a kind of a bummer that, they just had that big, you know, hour long great legends show on the Iron Sheik, and unfortunately, you know, I'm scared to death when they start doing these, if people are going to drop after they see him. I mean, he was old. He was what, 79, I think, or 81?
81.
And, look at that. Braun Strowman is going to be driving the pace car after having back surgery last week, for the NASCAR.
Get your neck fused 1 week, you're driving the pace car the next.
Yeah, I didn't see Big E doing that when he had his neck issues. So maybe it's not as bad as everyone thought. Maybe he had the Kurt Angle deal where they went through the front and...
Well, they said he's out for a year.
Yeah, he's definitely... You're not going to see him. That's the thing. We talked about him being hurt, but we didn't know exactly what it was, I think, last week. And it came out this week that he had fusion in the C4 and C5, which is high in your neck, I think. So...
Yeah.
So it, not to get off the Sheik too much, but it was like, that was, that's just sad. And, you know, and it's a day gone by, and it's a guy, I mean, some of the things about him, like in the last few memories of him, like coming out to in WrestleMania 17 in Houston to the Gimmick Battle Royale, where it took him, about 15 minutes to get to the ring. And it was just about over when he came in.
And he won because he couldn't go over the top
rope. Because he couldn't go over the top rope. Sheiky baby. So, rest in peace. And his wife, you know, I know that he was married to the same lady for like 49 years, you know, but he lived the wrestling lifestyle. So it's like, which means.
No, 81's nothing to cough at. At least, you know, it's unfortunate when we lose these legends now, but at least we're not losing them in their 40s and 50s. Nearly as frequently as we were.
Yeah. See, 81 is like old age. So, you know, that, and if he makes it that long, that means he probably didn't have concussion issues or, and things like that. He actually was a very safe wrestler, it sounds like. And that's what people said, is that he took care of people in the ring too. So even though he wore those spiky boots, he still took care of everybody. I mean, you know, but he was definitely a legend, definitely a Hall of Famer, and, you know, and the last man to keep kayfabe alive at times. So, you know, he definitely, so.
And he will humble you.
He will humble you, yes. And people, that's what I said, people would go on, like, Twitter and send messages to him just to get him to send a mean one back to him. And then they would, like, snapshot it and put it as their profile picture for a couple of years or something, you know.
And he was one of those guys, when his death was announced on his Twitter, it made national news. It was on every major news site. It was on all the sporting news and all that stuff.
Yeah, I had to explain because I had to download a picture so I could post it on the Pain Clinic Facebook page. And I downloaded a picture, and some of the kids were like, "Who's that? Who's that?" And I had to explain it was the Iron Sheik who had passed away. And I think that even people who are casual fans know who the Iron Sheik is, so, or was. Oh, did my thing fall down behind me? Look at that. Sorry.
It's fine.
I'll just turn the camera a little bit. But, yeah, no, it was, you know, it was definitely a sad time. And I wish everybody else, you know, wish the other guys were here on the show to give their 2 cents on what they think. Because I'm sure Sanderson's got some good stories, probably working with Sheik at, like, I mean, well, remember we worked with a guy who was, like, a fake Sheik at very early in the
yes.
Very early in the Pain Clinic's existence. We went to an indie show in Canandaigua, and it was like, this is not the Iron Sheik. I mean, he was actually better shape, I think, you know.
Well, at that point it wouldn't have been that difficult. It was like 1998 1999.
Yeah. And it was 99. It was like the first one we ever went to, and Jimmy Superfly Snuka was there. That's the only time I think we interviewed him where maybe he understood the questions we were asking him, you know, possibly.
He didn't say everything about loving his daughter. So
No. Yeah. His daughter was probably a kid back then. Oh, that was a long time ago. But they have, like, you know, people who look like people that they claim are. And that's exactly what that was. So, which is kind of a bummer. But we've crossed paths with the Iron Sheik before. So, you know, never asked for a ride anywhere, but, you know, but it's a shame, you know. I mean, if you saw that Legends towards the end, you could tell he definitely had mobility issues. He definitely could not get around. Probably wasn't a lot of pain from just the sport as well, you know. I mean, it wrecks havoc on your knees and your hips, you know, as well as your brain when you get too many concussions. So, you know, he's in a better place. He's not in pain, and, you know, it allows us to have some fond memories of him without him yelling and swearing at us. So,
correct.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to continue on from that and talk about. We'll go talk about some other things. I don't know how long we'll go tonight. Maybe an hour. I won't want to keep everybody too long. And I'm sorry, Danger. You can go out and, like, catch up with your friends when we get done.
As I said, got to be up at. Out the door at 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. So now that I'm seeing the video package right now of the Iron Sheik. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, wow. So we'll talk about some other stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit about Forbidden Door 2, which is starting to come together. Forbidden Door 2. We have two matches announced this past week. Bryan Danielson, was it Kenta or... No.
He's got Okada,
that's right. So the dream match that everyone's been talking about for a long time, you know, the best in the United States versus the best in Japan, even though everyone claims they're the best in the United States. I think Bryan Danielson probably is still. I mean, obviously, when he works, he works better than anybody else. And he challenged Okada this week, which shocked a lot of people, to a match at Forbidden Door 2 to go along with Kenny Omega and
Will Ospreay
Will Ospreay's selling it too. Well, Will Ospreay is talking about how he felt embarrassed by losing to Kenny Omega last year where he lost to him in front of all his family and all his friends. And he talked about it in a long, long post. Now, you know, wrestling, you know, you gotta, things are kind of, you know, I'll say predetermined at times. So, I mean, if he knew, you know, he can't be upset because, I mean, Ospreay's an amazing wrestler. Got much better over the years, you know, so much better than, you know, I mean, he's definitely progressed to being the best in Japan right now, and he's going to take on Kenny Omega. It's going to be the cleaner coming back, and Rain Man is Okada, and he's taking on Bryan Danielson. So we got two really high-profile, matches between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I'm excited about that. And then the potential of another one that we just heard about, what was that danger or might be happening? I mean, if they're talking about it, it's going to happen.
They're talking about finally doing the Kenta versus CM Punk match. There was talk about it last year too, but as we know, Punk was hurt for Forbidden Door, but now they're talking about that's a possibility. And Kenta's playing it up online. Like Tony Khan's going to have to show him the bag of money to get him to do it.
No, he, believe me, he wants to be the main event of a pay-per-view. I think, Kenta was doing Impact Wrestling the last time he was in the United States. So I think AEW, I think it's a bigger profile, you know, and if you have Punk, I think, you know, you're going to sell some seats from that for sure. So that's,
they don't have to sell any seats. It's sold out beforehand. There's 14 seats left.
I know. I was going to say people who are reselling tickets are going to make a bundle. Okay. I don't know. I can't. That's three matches. I can imagine what is going to still pop up. There's still rumors of a bunch of other ones.
I haven't followed too closely today. I know they were talking that if she had not gotten hurt, they were going to do Mercedes Moné and Saraya.
Oh, really?
And then was the talk of that. It never got to the point where it's presented to Saraya.
Isn't Mercedes Moné the one who drop kicked Saraya in the back that made the?
Yes.
Wow. Why not? Why not? You know, stick with, you know, some of the stuff that Haunted Family. What's this a promo for? Okay, sorry. I'm excited. You said someone shows up, and I haven't gotten there yet. I guess it's coming soon.
It's about the halfway point.
Okay. So we're getting there, but I'm sorry. I'm watching SmackDown at the same time as we're doing this, as well as if we keep talking too long, we'll probably go into maybe the beginning of Rampage, but that'd be interesting. I mean, you know, there's a lot of built up, on the internet wrestling fans, IWFs built up for this Forbidden Door too, with you got Kenny Omega and Osprey. That's kind of like something that's been going on.
I honestly think those are the best two matches they could have given us for this entire thing. So the fact they were announced at Dominion and this past week is just phenomenal. I'm really happy about those two matches happening.
It was a great challenge too by Danielson. He obviously pre-produced very well. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, this is starting out to be like a good, and there's a lot of AEW there. I mean, they've got All In, and they're doing the two shows in England that are coming up as well. And then they're doing Forbidden Door, what, a week later after that, is, I think?
No, Forbidden Door's is before that.
That's right.
All In's not till August. It's the week before All Out in Chicago, or wherever they're doing All Out this year. I don't even know if they've announced it yet.
Yeah, so All Out, All In, Forbidden Doors first. So they've got a lot. They've got a lot of high profile things going on.
And they start Collision next week.
And they announced this week the Collision that with the main event of the first Collision is going to be surprise CM Punk and FTR wrestling in a match in the main event. Let's see, who did they say they were taking on?
Bullet Club Gold and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, Samoa Joe, Jay White, and Juice Robinson. So, yeah.
Samoa Joe does awesome work in the Twisted Metal video I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he makes some good money from that, too, I hear. But he
doesn't voice his own character, though. That's the weird. Will Arnett does the voice of his character.
Really?
He beats the living crap out of Anthony Mackie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah.
He sings the thong song. Well, he doesn't sing the thong song, but he kind of dances to it.
Well, the debut of Collision will be 1 week from tomorrow. So I'm sure there will probably lead more. But leading up to that, this week they've already put out a teaser for what they're going to be doing on this week's Dynamite. And is it like, are they trying to put pay-per-views on regular TV now? Because this is what's going on this week on Dynamite.
Well, they kind of put regular TV on pay-per-view last time, so.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It was still solid, I thought. Solid, you know, I mean, except for the exploding foot and whatever. I mean, well, that was okay, too. But this is what we got this week for the June 14th edition of Dynamite. We got MJF taking on Adam Cole for the World Championship Eliminator match, which I'm not sure what that means, but I'm guessing Adam Cole's got to win to be able to get a chance to take him on again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got Toni Storm versus the winner of a four-way number one contenders match for the Women's Championship, which will be, I guess it's good. The four-way is going to be on, and then they're going to have Toni Storm take on the winner of that, which is pretty cool. Blackpool Combat Club versus Young Bucks and Adam Page. That right there is a main event of a pay-per-view. And then Mogul Embassy, that Swerve, Brian Cage, and Gates of Agony versus Orange Cassidy, Sting, Darby Allin, and Keith Lee. By the way, what did you think about Adam Cole's Keith Lee, the Keith Lee manager thing that MJF said, you know, because.
I think that promo by MJF has done more than anything since Adam Cole walked in the company to get him over.
It did. And it allowed Adam Cole to actually go off for, and you know, MJF, you know, obviously not attacking, even though he's getting attacked by Adam Cole in verbiage, you know.
Well, MJF used Adam Cole's line, direct line against him that he used against Karrion Kross in NXT.
Yeah, I was gonna say Adam Cole. It was interesting because MJF. Yeah, you know, I so much love heels better than faces, because it allowed him to say some really mean stuff. But remember the one line I just mentioned to go that he brought up about Keith Lee's manager. That's what WWE wanted to do with Adam Cole when they were gonna bring him up to SmackDown. I think, because he was going to be the manager of Keith Lee.
Well, that was the rumor, and Adam Cole said right after when he joined AEW that was never presented to him.
Oh, it wasn't? Because there's got to be some legit behind it if we've heard it so many times, you know. But, you know, MJF, they go and they find, like, these little pieces. But the thing is I didn't realize it originally. I had to think about it for a while after that, because it's been such a long time, you know, that very, very long time that since he's been in AEW. So it's like, oh, that's right. I had to think about it for a minute, you know. That was the rumor going around that Vince didn't want Adam Cole to wrestle. You know, he wanted him to be a manager. And I don't know about that. So,
and apparently MJF does steroids from what the promo taught me. So,
oh yeah, because he wanted to, yeah, he said, well, let's take a little test backstage or something. I don't know that anybody who has a good physique, you think does, you know, so it's, or at least you can like point a finger at, I don't know. Every time I see MJF in posting pictures, he's always in the gym all the time. So it doesn't mean he doesn't use steroids. It's just that he's in the gym all the time. So, it was an interesting week in Dynamite, and we've got Rampage tonight, which it was taped on Wednesday, but it has sounds like it has a lot of great matches on it too, which we might get to eventually. So let's talk about some other stuff. I did talk about, you know, so CM Punk and FTR are going to be the main event of the first AEW Collision. They did mention their tour dates. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and the tour with them doing some Canadian spots for Collision, on at least one.
I think they're doing like four.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about too was the Dark Side of the Ring. The new season started, and we did talk last week about what a great show it was about you know, Sonny and Chris Candido, but the numbers, man, these are numbers that outdo Impact Wrestling. You know, when you see these numbers that they're pulling on Vice TV, well,
they're down from what they were doing at their peak, because they've done the more known stories that people want to know about. And this week's on Magnum TA was fantastic, because I started watching. I mean, I grew up on NWA.
Yeah.
That's what my dad watched. That's what I watched. And I started watching very shortly after, as far as I can remember, Magnum TA had the accident. So I remember him as an announcer, but I never saw him wrestle.
Oh, he and Nikita Koloff were like, I mean, both physical specimens, and they had like great grudge matches. They had like a series where they wrestled like, it was like, what was the pay-per-view that they did? from
Starcade.
No. It was the one that they had outdoors, and the one where Flair landed in the helicopter. It was a Bash at the Beach.
I forgot what they call it. It was in Charlotte, though.
Yeah, I thought it was Bash at the Beach because that was like one of their big ones. And they toured around and did all the matches, but they had like a five. They did like the best of seven series or whatever.
Magnum TA went down 3-0.
Yeah.
Fought his way back and then lost in the last match.
Yeah. See, I remember that very well because they had great competition. And yeah, he was living the lifestyle. Unfortunately, right. What was it? A Corvette he wrecked, I think, you know,
No, it was a Porsche.
Yeah, I knew it was.
He hydroplaned his Porsche into a telephone pole and snapped the pole in half.
And it was like right before where he was supposed to, you know, be elevated into the upper echelon. You know, I think it was before Starcade, I believe. And it was like he was going to get pushed heavily, like championship style, like beyond, you know, just the lower titles.
I had heard it said previously, but he said that he was straight up in a meeting with Dusty and Jim Crockett Jr. And he was told that he was going to be the next world heavyweight champion.
Oh, wow.
For Ric Flair.
Yeah. What a bummer. Cause it's like, people loved him. I mean, he had the Magnum PI look. So, you know, it was like,
yeah.
And that was a big TV show at the time. So, so you enjoyed that. I haven't watched that one yet. There's some good ones coming up though. I know I've saw the preview, but I do have it on my DVR, but I was glued to the, Sonny and Chris Candido one. That was just, very enlightening, but a lot of stuff I knew already, but it was still very enlightening.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can tell that, when they did that one that Sonny or Tammy, whatever her name is, did not show up and record anything. And it was all Chris's family, pretty much.
I'm fairly certain she couldn't because of her recent legal issues. Because
she's incarcerated still? I believe she might be, yeah. Well, you can get, like, visitation, can't you?
I know they had her voice from an interview that she had done previously.
Yeah, from 2000 or something. I remember, or 2012, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, maybe one of her clear moments, you know. But it's a good show, folks. You got to watch it. Was it Tuesday nights at 10? Tuesdays at 10 on Vice TV. You know, even though some of these cause a lot of problems with people, like Ric Flair and his helicopter and the flight from hell, which got, you know, made Jim Ross never want to be involved again, though I believe I did see him on some of these already this season. He said he wasn't going to do them anymore, and now I've seen him this year. So, it's still, you know what, there's still a lot of sordid tales in the world of pro wrestling that need to be told.
Yes. Yeah. There's some good ones still coming up too.
Definitely. Without a doubt. I don't remember this wrestler, but I saw this today. Former WCW star, the Gambler, Jeff Gann.
I remember him reading through your notes. I can't believe he ever won a match. He was always an enhancement guy on Saturday night.
Okay, so his name was Jeff Gann, and he was the Gambler. I remember the Gamble gimmick. Can any of like come out with cards or something, or he like was?
I think so. He had like a hat with a card in it as well, and.
Well, he passed away, unfortunately, yesterday. But he was, they said that he was used as kind of to put over other talent. He ended up putting over like Mr. Hughes when he was there and a lot of other people. I'm surprised he was employed till 1999. And so he was employed when things were good there in the company, you know, when from 98 to 99 is when they had that run, you know.
He probably made a good chunk of change doing those tapings and whatnot.
Yeah. So unfortunately he passed away this past week and I was having a hard time trying to remember him. So that's why I put it in there. Cause I thought maybe you would remember him, Danger Boy.
I remember him doing the enhancement stuff and his gimmick was nothing special, but he had the name the Gambler. So, you know, he stood out for that.
There you go. So we'll just go through the news the rest of the show. And there's only one person in the chat room. We appreciate you being there, Chuck. Chuck is watching. It says Chuck and Bill, but and we believe that would be Super Beast. If it's you, bro, send us a message. But I did mention Kenta has been calling out CM Punk for years. Japanese legends only prepared to wrestle the Second City Saint for the right amount of money. Okay, that's what he said in his messages. So SmackDown did pretty well last week, you know, with they keep moving this Bloodline storyline. I think they're going to be drawing great numbers. They still haven't gotten as high as they did the week after WrestleMania, which was for Raw and SmackDown was like the highest rated shows of the year so far.
Their last quarter of SmackDown last week was the highest rated show they've had since John Cena came back in like 2020.
So yeah,
so almost 2.5 years is the highest rated quarter hour.
I wonder how they structure the show. Do they want to go out with the highest rating, or do they want to like keep it early on the show? You know, I'm always wondering.
Yeah, I think on SmackDown, because that's where they put Roman Reigns, that's where they want it, is at the end. But I think for Raw, it's usually the 9 o'clock or the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it's usually definitely before the end of the show because they'll set up, because they'll usually end the show with a match. They do that in both shows. They'll end the show with a match. So they
end the show with a pretty good match this week. So
I see Asuka's now getting a new belt. Is this where I'm going to see a surprise person show up?
Yes.
Okay. I see that, you know, they have the hidden belt. And by the way, I dig what Asuka's doing. You know what? Still playing the heels fun, you know.
I like what they've done with the women's titles. They're not going to be the SmackDown title or the Raw title anymore. It's the WWE women's title and the World women's title.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. Get rid of the colors out of them too. So I think we're, you know, maybe they think the colored belts have come. Maybe they like base it on how many replicas they sell. And maybe it's like, people don't like them as much. They like these belts that look like a belt, not like a, you know, belongs on SmackDown or belongs on Raw. And that red belt that she carried out there is a Raw women's championship.
Yeah, if they go a little more generic, they can get it. They can still have their logo plastered right on the front, but then you don't have that specific colors going to the teams when they win their titles at the end of every season.
Oh, look at that. Another gold belt, by the way. I just saw them unveil it. Yeah, it's another gold. So everything's just spackled in gold now. That's not bad. I like it. It's not too bad. It's got, like you said, the big W on it again. So I'm a little bit behind what we're watching on SmackDown, if you're curious. But doing some other news, Raw had a great week as well. People, they said they're up 13.47% from last week's viewership. So and that was Memorial Day. A lot of times Memorial Day is tough, but I see now. Charlotte Flair's back, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I have no idea what happened during the segment because I didn't have the sound on.
Oh, I see Charlotte Flair, and she's like, she's got her hair all pulled back. She looks like she should be in like a one of those videos. What's his name? You know, with all of the models that all wear the same clothes. I can't remember what's his name now. It was guy does doctor, give me the news. He has a video.
You're aging yourself at this point.
I am. No, I'm not. Because as soon as I said the name of the video, you'd know what I was talking about. It's like he has all these supermodels as his band, and it's like
I don't think I've ever seen that video in my life. I know the song. I don't think I've ever seen that video in my life.
No, there's not a video for that song. I'm talking about this other one. But nevertheless, I've diverged. She's just dressed like one of these supermodels that were the guy's band behind him. So I know. Let's go to some other news. Baron Corbin and Mustafa Ali both have showed up recently on WWE NXT. And we saw Corbin come out and beat up Carmelo Hayes 2 weeks ago, and then we had Mustafa Ali this past week. It's kind of weird how they're kind of like floating other WWE wrestlers from other shows onto NXT. Is this a good thing for what they're doing in NXT? I mean,
it sounds like they're – so Nick Khan's been talking about it this week and sees NXT as a viable third brand if they decide to go that way and not just developmental. So it sounds like they're trying to play up the get the ratings up and play up what they can do. And they're supposed to have more stuff. Like Bron Breakker called out Seth Rollins this week.
Yeah. So I was going to get to that.
And apparently if it happens, it's going to happen on a Tuesday.
Really?
So they're trying to get the ratings up on NXT because just like the other two shows, their deal's up at the end of this year and they can go elsewhere if they would like. So if they can get more money for it, they're going to try to get more money for it.
So it makes a lot of sense, but a lot of people thought this also was the path in which Bron Breakker moves up to obviously Raw or SmackDown, you know, he did say in the thing that it was going to be, you're right, on Tuesday, right? It was going to be, if they were going to wrestle, it was going to be on Tuesday. Well, see, Raw belt, right? Isn't it? You know? So, I mean, why would they want to bring it to another TV, another show? And by the way, the song I was talking about was Addicted to Love, Robert Palmer. So
there you go.
You know, she's like dressed like one of those supermodels in the background on that video. So, you know,
you are definitely aging yourself though, because that song was like mid-80s.
Yeah, I know, it was a long time ago. So, but yeah. So I think that, you know, Bron Breakker, you know, I mean, I assume that, like I said, they've been talking for what, 6 months now about bringing him up to one of the other shows.
Yeah, but they got hooked on his heel character and wanted him to expand on that a little more.
He has. Yeah. I would love to see him do the heel character on Raw, come up and be part of Raw. It gives some new blood against Seth Rollins. Who hasn't Seth Rollins beaten on Raw, you know? I mean, it seems like, you know, except for, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, which makes, you know, it's kind of weird. I wonder if they could probably build something up with those two too, but I think that they're not fond of each other. I've heard stories of that. Maybe it's just
no, that was all playing up the character.
It's all kayfabe stuff. So, but yeah, it's just interesting how, yeah, that, you know, and to me, NXT is on the same platform as Raw and SmackDown as well, because it's on the same network as Raw, you know? It's like, how can you, but it's still quote unquote considered developmental. So that's why, you know, I'd hope Bron Breakker would eventually get up to Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. I mean, you know, he's good. Don't get I think he's a good wrestler, and he's like, you know, he's so much like his dad. It's like, it's almost like he's like a clone.
But he talks like his uncle.
Yeah, he talks like his uncle, but he's like a clone of his dad. He looks so much like
him. Oh, yeah.
You know, so that, I think that, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see where they go with it, because eventually I think I would like some of the matchups. It's, you know, I'm always looking for new matchups, because, you know, you get the same ones get old after a while, you know. I did kind of miss on SmackDown. Was it Jay was talking to Sami Zayn in the back? And
yeah, it was a quick thing. I couldn't hear what they were saying.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say, I think Sami Zayn is like trying to save him or something still, you know, because they have like ties or whatever.
Earlier in the show when Heyman was out and he was talking to Jay, he offered him a spot as the next in line to be the next tribal chief. He was going to be groomed, and that's why Jimmy was upset and why Jimmy kicked Roman Reigns, because he knew that, but Jay didn't. So he offered that to Jay, and he offered Jay the match he's going to have later tonight against Austin Theory as the U.S. title.
Yeah, and he said he'll be the next champion and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, something's going to go wrong or whatever, but another match that they've been building up, and we're going to talk for a second here, is about Brock Lesnar is going to have a third match with Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, which is in August 5th in Detroit. And so that means this next pay-per-view, Money in the Bank, there's nothing set between Cody and Lesnar, but they're going to have the you know, they each have one, and they need to break the tie. Always seems, you know, it seems like a great angle. They do it in UFC all the time. Why not, you know?
I think they set up on Monday what you're going to see Cody doing at Money in the Bank.
No, you're right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, when he was out, yeah. The thing, yeah, I mean, he's got to do something that's not going to be too serious, because he's got to get back to Lesnar. But maybe Lesnar will come out and do something. Who knows, you know?
Maybe Lesnar attacks him when he's fighting with Dominic, and Dominic pins him. Who knows?
It's a good thing. Dominic, Dominic deserves a title. That's what his girl said. So why not? You know,
that's what mommy said.
That's right. Mommy said Dom Dom. She calls him Dom Dom. I saw some video this week of him when he was first time he ever went into a ring, and when he was a little kid. I mean, when he was in a storyline, when it was Eddie and Ray.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, it's so surreal. His whole life is like, you know, being portrayed on this TV. But Yeah, no, there's definitely going to be something going on with Dom and maybe it'll be a good thing to tie over. But the big thing about this match we're talking about with Cody Rhodes and Lesnar's, it's going to be some sort of special stipulation, and they've already suggested a few that I guess have gotten thrown out. One of them was a bull rope match,
dog collar match,
dog collar. Now, bull rope one is not out of the realm yet. So, but dog collar was already rejected, they say, by one of the parties. I bet you that might have been rejected by probably Cody, because he's had a couple of
them. Cody's the one who asked for it.
Oh, so obviously Lesnar doesn't want to do that. You know, it makes sense.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was the you know, talent or the booking people that didn't want to do it. They probably watched Cody's other dog collar matches.
Oh, the bloodbaths? Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, a bull rope will do the same thing. You know, it could be a bull rope. And a bull rope, in fact, has the bell in the middle, right? Remember? I think the
old school. So you just clank them in the head.
Yeah. The old school bull rope. And you can take it and use it like a, you know, like a weapon, you know? So it might right now that's a possibility that it will be a bull rope match, a special stipulation match for their third one. And I'm guessing Cody comes out on top just so that they can continue his rise to taking on the tribal chief eventually.
If they do the bull rope match, they have to do the real ending to it, where you have to touch all four corners in succession.
Yeah, and then you'll have the last one. Is always done while you're passed out because the guy's pushing you by backwards, and that's how. That's how JBL won the title in SmackDown.
I think, yes.
Or no, it was Eddie Guerrero. Yeah, he beat Eddie Guerrero that way in a bull rope match, and that's exactly how it ended. Was Eddie had hit three of the corners, and he ended up being pushed into it by Eddie and hitting the corner. You know, I remember that was actually a really great match, and I hated JBL back then. I thought he was terrible, but he did it really. Really great match, and he also put over people for Vince anytime. Vince needed someone to get put over, like John Cena, as John Cena was making his way up, you know. So who knows what we'll get, but it's going to be something interesting. It's going to be at SummerSlam in Detroit, who knows what we'll get, you know. I'm sure as we get closer, it will come out soon. So some other things I want to talk about. Oh, WWE announced a new multi-year partnership with Twitch. The new deal includes return of the official WWE channel and popular WWE Superstar channels featuring live and exclusive content. WWE will also launch a companion sidecast to Monday Night Raw, which I find interesting. They just have people watching Raw and talking about it.
I have no idea.
I think we should put in an application for it, because I would watch Raw, you know, I would have no problem talking about it.
I know from everything I've heard about this deal with Twitch, though, it is better than what the wrestlers were doing on their own before WWE stopped them doing it.
I bet you they don't get as much money, though.
They make more.
Oh, really?
They get higher rates, and WWE's cut of anything comes from the Twitch side of things. So the wrestlers actually make more money off it doing their Twitch stuff than they did previously.
And you know what Twitch people do mostly on Twitch is play video games, you know? I mean,
that's what they all do.
Yeah. So, so it's interesting. It's the weekly Raw viewing experience will be led by a rotating cast of hosts and will feature appearances by WWE superstars as well as unique and exclusive content such as backstage interviews and more. The official WWE Twitch channel will also feature other live productions and all WWE premium live events press conferences. So that's, you know, that makes sense too as well. They can, you know, that it can go to a streaming service like everybody else does with these post pay-per-view or post live event press conferences that seemed, I think Tony Khan is to blame for those, because he's the one who started them, you know, the scrums or whatever they call them. You know, I mean, WWE never really did post-match anything like that, you know? I mean, do you ever remember them doing?
No, not like, they didn't do anything like that. It's Tony was doing it, because, I mean, like football player, they do it every football game and stuff like that. Oh,
and like UFC. UFC does one after every show, you know? And
it gives Tony his ability to talk to everybody for 4 hours on end.
Yeah, Tony... Yeah, Tony's a mark still. Don't forget that, you know. He still to this day, he marks out for people. Why do you think we had Sabu and the last pay-per-view, you know? It's
community service. I'm not really sure why we had Sabu the last.
It's Tony Mark guy, Tony Markout Khan, you know. And he also calls some of those radio shows, you know, and likes to talk. So – But yeah, so I blame him for these press conferences, but I love him too. I remember driving home from after your house at a pay-per-view in which CM Punk was the first guest on the post pay-per-view scrum and proceeded to burn the house down. So it's the last time we saw him on AEW.
Well, Tony sat right there and did absolutely nothing about it.
You know, I don't even know if Tony was hearing it, to be honest with you, you know?
I mean, oh, no, you could tell by his face. He was hearing everything. And yeah. Just let it go.
Oh, Rennie's going to be at AEW this week. So 18,000-seat capacity at Capital One Arena, home of the Wizards and Capitals. He's going to – cool, man. It's a, they love coming to D.C. Rennie, they're going to be doing a pay-per-view style quality Wednesday night Dynamite. So you're gonna see a good show.
I can also pretty much guarantee they're not going to be set up for 18,000 seats.
No, you know, the interesting thing is, yeah, I wonder how many they've sold. The interesting thing is they're doing it because it's an off night in all the playoffs and everything. So they figure they're going to put on a big show, you know?
Yeah, I mean, why not? You don't have any competition. They're not going to have competition, I don't believe, from the finals on anything other. I mean, they'll get baseball, but that's negligible.
Yeah, it's usually what they worry about is the NBA, NHL playoffs, or championships, and the football. That's, I think, what they worry the most about.
I believe Raw beat the NHL this week.
Oh, really? Well, it doesn't surprise me. There's a team from Vegas, and there's a team from Florida. You know, it's like that doesn't represent everybody, you know, the world of hockey. It does, but I don't know. I don't care. I don't want either of them to win, but you can't have no winner. So, it's funny. They're showing the recap now of Baron Corbin on NXT last Tuesday. Did he pin Carmelo? Hey, our Carmelo's guy, his number one dude. He pinned.
Yeah. Trick.
Yeah. So, and they're in the crowd. So very interesting. I can't hear it though. So let's talk about some other thing. WWE stars Emma and Riddick are engaged to be married. Emma, this is I think this might be the second engagement I remember Emma, because she was engaged to Zack Ryder too. Wasn't she engaged to Zack Ryder?
I don't believe so.
I thought she was. They were dating. I know that. I thought they were engaged, but nevertheless, well, I mean, Zack Ryder's married now, so obviously it wasn't, you know, she wasn't that, but she is engaged to Riddick Moss, and not only that, but her best friend in the world, Jessica McKay, or Billy Kay, I think was in WWE.
Not her best friend.
But yeah, her best friend. They.
No, it's not. They're not. They weren't the people. It was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw a reaction shot from Emma and Riddick Moss where they were like cheering and everything.
Well, yeah, they're friends, but they weren't the.
They came from Australia. Yeah, they were not. Yeah, you're right. They're not the tag team, but they came from Australia together to the WWE. But yeah, sorry, not the tag team champion partner. That would be Cassie.
Peyton Royce.
Yeah,
Or Peyton Royce.
Yeah, so Jessica McKay announced she's pregnant this week with her first child. It's interesting because I thought that we were going to get Jessica McKay and Cassie back tagging again, but not if she is pregnant. I guess they're doing an appearance at something this weekend where they're going to sign autographs. Interesting, because one had a baby last year, now one is having a baby this year, and Emma and Rick are going to be married. And you know, Emma wasn't doing the shifty dance, but she did say yes. And Madcap Moss, it's funny. People use that in when they had described it. It's like, I forgot about that, you know, and I tried to forget about that crazy laughter that he used to do all the time. I already talked about Braun Strowman. I did say it was a C4 and C5 vertebrae that were fused. We're not going to see him for a year, but he's going to be in a NASCAR car this weekend driving the pace car. So that ought to be fun. I'm kind of running out of news now. We talked about the bull rope match and everything. Is there anything else we need to talk about? This might be a short show.
Yeah, I don't think there was, other than the Iron Sheik, there wasn't that much this week.
No. There is, you know, and usually we, you know, when we're on Saturday, things that happen on SmackDown, look at that. And Baron Corbin got pinned. Oh, well, surprise, surprise. I'm a little bit behind, Rennie. So I'm missing what you're talking about right now, but Oh, yeah. Rennie said last Baltimore show had only 4,000 people. So
the last, I don't know if it's changed. It's been like 6 or 7 days since I last heard it. But the last I heard, the Collision for Hamilton only had 600 tickets sold.
Really?
Because I guess until today, they didn't have any kind of TV outlet for Collision.
Oh, that's right. They probably aren't going.
And it's going to be streaming at this point. It's streaming on one of the Canadian stations. Their Plus
TSN station. TSN Plus.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what they used to have all the non like WWE stuff would be on there. All their talk shows and everything on TSN. They would do. But they have the Plus as well, like ESPN Plus here and everything. Oh, now. See, I'm at the point where Corbin got in a fight with Carmelo Hayes outside the ring. And, we're coming to the end of SmackDown right now, too. And it's like, I should just fast forward to it and get to the end. But, there's not a lot of.
No, you might as well just stick with it at this point because you just missed the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's true if I start playing around with it. But, here's another one piece of news before we get out of here. NBC canceled The Young Rock today. And it's been 3 seasons, so The Young Rock was on for 3 seasons, and it's canceled, so you will not get any more Young Rock. Some people say that it's not a surprise this happened because they moved it to Friday night, or whatever. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night, and they moved it to Friday night, and they said that's like Friday night's always the death of any show.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I watched a few of them. I thought they're, I don't know. It just didn't.
Were not very factually accurate.
No, they weren't factually accurate, and I didn't get the time jumping all the time. We're in the present with the real Rock, and then we're going back in time when he's younger. And then there was a one time when he was a little kid, and they stopped doing the little kids after a while, and then just stuck with him going into wrestling. They felt that was probably the strongest part of the show was when he was training to wrestle, and they could have actors acting as Mick Foley and Steve Austin and all the guys from backstage.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame they didn't actually ask to get the real guys to do it, because I'm sure they would have done it. It was a TV show, but it is done. And if you're a fan, you've got 3 seasons, I'm sure they'll sell them on DVD and stuff like that. But the Young Rock is no more. But there's a bunch of shows that have been canceled this year that are kind of a bummer. Like I watched The Flash for 10 seasons or whatever, and it's done. But at least they knew before they made this last season that it was going to be done, so they could write it off. And I don't think they did a very good job of that. But it leaves more room for new TV shows, I guess. Ever since streaming happened, I think networks really have had a hard time getting, big hit shows. Rock did very well in the beginning, just not that great when it got moved.
It didn't have staying power.
Yeah, it didn't. And it got moved to Friday night. So, I did enjoy seeing some of the guys who were like wrestlers. There was an Iron Sheik on there as well. And we did start on the show talking about the Iron Sheik passing away. And maybe we'll just end up on that. Say that, we sent our best to his family, and we talked a lot about how the Iron Sheik was influential. And I think we're about done for this week. So Danger, I appreciate the time. I know you got to get up early tomorrow, and me too as well. Next week we'll be back this Saturday. I'm pretty sure of it because I don't even know what next Saturday is. Oh, next Saturday is Collision. The very first Collision. So I'm sure we'll have more matches to talk about as well. And we're getting closer to the next WWE pay-per-view. We're only 3 weeks away, as well as AEW. We'll always have something to talk about. And I'll say goodnight to everybody. And thank you, Danger Boy. Thank you, everybody out on Facebook. You guys all have a great weekend and enjoy wrestling tonight. I'm going to finish right before Rampage so I can just turn it on Rampage. And I will catch the rest of SmackDown later. But adios. Don't forget to check out all our old shows at feelthepain.net or thepainclinic.net. And be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. What we used to say? Follow us on Instagram. Trying to think of all
body slam someone you love.
There you go. We're out of here.